That's what I like to see, bullseyes, every time. And you can do the same thing with Beyer Barrels. As long as you do your part, the custom barrels that you get from Beyer Barrels will deliver award-winning accuracy shot after shot. Beyer Barrel specializes in standard and 1-in-9-inch twist match-grade 22 long rifle barrels for the Ruger 10-22 and AR-15. If you want to win, visit their site at BeyerBarrels.com. That's B-E-Y-E-R Barrels.com. Or you can call Clint at 360-374-9476 and tell him you heard it on the Shooting Bench, would you? Let him know that his advertising money is doing him some good.
The truth.
But you can find it right here on the Shooting Bench. Coming up next.
Son, we live in a world that has walls, and those walls have to be guarded by men with guns. Who's gonna do it? You? I have a greater responsibility than you can possibly fathom. You have that luxury. You have the luxury of not knowing what I know. And my existence, while grotesque and incomprehensible to you, saves lives. You don't want the truth because deep down in places you don't talk about at parties, you want me on that wall.
You need the Shooting Bench.
We use words like honor, code, loyalty. We use these words as the backbone of a life spent defending something. You use them as a punchline.
And I am sick of the lies and the deceit and the intrusions on my privacy and the invasion of my home. And we do not intend to take this lying down.
I have neither the time nor the inclination to explain myself to a man who rises and sleeps under the blanket of the very freedom that I provide and then questions the manner in which I provide it. I would rather you just said thank you and went on your way.
And now, if you think you're ready, the Shooting Bench. It's the 17th of April, and it's Wednesday, and welcome to the Shooting Bench. Hope you guys had, hope you had a good weekend, but this is Wednesday, it's not Monday, so if you're going to tell me about your weekend, I guess you should have done it the day before yesterday. Let me get over here and check the chat room real fast, like always, make sure we've got sound going, get my chat room fired up there. If you guys have been watching the news, a lot of stuff going on here. I'm anxious to see what they do with the Mueller report tomorrow, see what they're planning on releasing to the public, if anything. Let's see. Thank you, Tebow. All right, we'll continue to march. We've got one saying 5x5, so if it's for one, it ought to be for everybody. So let's move on. I don't even know where to start. We've got so many different things here. Let's start with some gun stuff here. Let's look at Colorado. Colorado passed their... they signed their bill into law here day before yesterday, their red flag law. And this is, they weren't the first one to do it, and this isn't the, I mean, it's pretty much like Washington's. It's horrendous is what it is. You know, for the last, I don't know, years, and I've said this before, and I'll say it again. I keep wondering just how far they're going to push us before somebody finally breaks, or if somebody finally gives in and says, you know, it's far enough. It stops right here. The people in New Jersey, let's see, there was a Freedom of Information request there trying to find out. They found out that right now there has been exactly zero high-capacity magazines turned in, or standard-capacity magazines, anything over 10 rounds. And the, estimated 1 million gun owners with standard-capacity magazines in the state of New Jersey bring an estimated number of magazines holding more than 10 rounds to around 10 million. I'd say that's pretty conservative, but whatever. Some estimates have this number much higher. Well, you know, there's a few people, the hobbyists out there that go out and shoot a little bit and play. They've got one, two magazines, three at the most for their AR-15 or their AK or whatever it is, or 10-22 or whatever they're playing with. But people that get out and train and practice and do things, how many magazines do they have? You know, they've got it easily 10. And if you look at one, you've got guys got an AR-15, he's got an AR-10, he's got an AK-47, he's got a 10-22, he's got this and that and the other thing. And so all together, you're probably looking at 30 to 50 magazines for some of these people. So I'd say 10 million is extremely conservative. But so far, zero of them have been turned in. Here's an off-the-record statement here from AmmoLand. Said the state police would not comment on the record of the number of magazines turned in by residents. Off the record, state police sources told AmmoLand no magazines were turned in. We filed a Freedom of Information Act request to get the official answer from state police officials. Our first request went unanswered, so we sent another, then another, and so on until we finally received a response from the state police. Sergeant Christina Palos of the New Jersey State Police responded to the request. She confirmed that our sources inside the New Jersey Police told us the new gun owners of New Jersey have surrendered no magazines. However, she did state that local departments might have them. So possibly she's saying that some may be turned into some local departments that haven't been reported to the state police yet. Maybe not. AmmoLand reached out to the local police departments across New Jersey and have not been able to find a single magazine turned over to the authorities. It would seem like the gun owners of New Jersey have decided to ignore the law, most likely because it's unenforceable. And it is unenforceable. All these laws, not all of them, but a great many of them are unenforceable. How are they going to enforce them? What they're going to do is they're going to wait until they hear somebody out at the dump or, you know, out in the little lonely country road out somewhere, and they hear somebody ripping off a magazine or two, and they'll go out there and find them. They can't go door to door and find them. They're going to find them in just seeing a gun laying in the back seat with a magazine laying beside it or in it when they stop them for a DWI stop or a speeding ticket or anything else, and they're going to find them that way. It's highly unlikely that they will ever go door to door looking for high capacity magazines. But like a lot of these other laws, all it's going to take is, you know, for you to screw up. What if you have a wreck? You've coming home from the range and you got a trunk full of AR-15s and AK-47s and a bunch of 30 and 40 round magazines. What happens then? You know, you have a wreck, trunk pops open, and here's all this stuff. Or you have a wreck and the trunk don't pop open and they pop it open anyway. There's 100 different ways, 1,000 different ways that they can catch you with this stuff. So it's not a matter of whether you can quote unquote get away with it. It's a matter of it's still a unenforceable or not. It's still a law, what they are calling a law, and you will still go to jail and or be fined for it, whether you are getting away with it at the present time or not. So my question is, when are we going to stand up and say no more? When you look back at the first revolution, I mean, my word, those people were ready to give their life and kill lots of people over taxes. It hadn't even come, well, there, I guess there were some issues where they're wanting to take away their powder reserves and guns and stuff there a time or two. Matter of fact, if I'm not mistaken, it may have been during the Battle of Lexington Concord. That may have been what kicked that off. I don't remember for sure. But nevertheless, I don't care what happened in 1775. I want to know what happened, what's going to happen in 2019, 2020, 2025, 2030. When? When is enough enough? I don't know. But it's driving me crazy. That's a good idea, Doc. Maybe we ought to just take all of our better homes and gardens and playboys and fields and streams and all that stuff and go down and turn them in. I think that's a good idea. All right, let's see where we're at here. Indiana. This is a pretty good deal. Indiana, as bill has been, it hasn't been approved yet, but they've got a bill introduced to fund training for armed school staff. I mean, this bill is moving through the process here, let's go in the chamber in a week while the House passed the bill 72-25 in February. The proposal now heads to the concurrence of the House before it can go to the governor's desk. So, moving right along. I'm not opposed to spending tax money for this. I don't expect teachers to spend their own money. If they're gun people, sure, you know, but you can't expect somebody that's not a gun people to have the desire to want to put money into this training. And I would say on top of that if they don't have the desire, then they should not be afforded the training. If they don't have the desire to do it, then they're not going to be effective sheepdogs when the time comes. So just let them go. Let them teach and let everybody else deal with it. But that's a good deal in Indiana. I'm glad to see that. I never did get finished with that video I've had with my little walk I took this weekend and all of that, and I've got so many things going on. There was a video I wanted to watch where they were testing four different World War II guns against each other, two or three bolt actions, and maybe it was just one semi-automatic. But anyway, whatever it was, they're testing them for speed and accuracy. Obviously, the bolt actions are going to win. In the accuracy department. Well, I shouldn't say obviously, because there's, you know, the M1, the Garand was an accurate gun. M14, good, fine, accurate gun. So, I don't know. I'll watch the rest of the video and report back to you when the time comes here. In Texas, you expect to hear stories like this out of Texas. You know, Texas gun laws are not any better than anybody else, and worse than a lot of states. But you just expect to hear this out of Texas. It's just what Texans do. There was a man came home. Let's see. Excuse me. Hang on a minute. Let me get bug out of my throat here. All right, there it was. Let me get back over here. Here we go. Three suspects hid in the bushes outside the house, and the dad came home, and they pistol-whipped him, forced him to open the house and let him in. Inside, he had two daughters, and they went to hide. Eventually, the two girls managed to activate some kind of alarm there as the men went through the house and looking for stuff. But when the son and the mom pulled up, this changed a little bit. The 20-year-old son somehow sensed that something wasn't right and grabbed his gun and went to blazing away. And I guess two of them escaped. One of them ended up with a gunshot wound to the head. Now, unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on how you look at it, he expired shortly thereafter. So his life of crime, his career choice was he was ill-advised to get into that line of work, I guess. The father was pistol-whipped pretty good. He was treated for his injuries, supposed to make a full recovery. So without the Second Amendment, without the ability, the desire, the means to do all this, this could have been a tragic deal for this family. But yeah, just like how many stories have we had here in the last two or three weeks about shootouts against multiple assailants? That's another thing. Multiple assailants in high-capacity magazines. I wonder how many times the guy shot or what he was using. You know, he maybe is using a revolver for all I know. It doesn't say. It just says he grabbed his weapon. But how many rounds did he fire? Another case for I'll call them high-capacity magazines because it's because everybody knows what I'm talking about when I say that. So we all know better, right? I'm going to go back over here to the chat room while I'm sitting here not doing anything important. And look and see how many people we got in there. Let's see here. Bright Angels. Well, she signed in. I don't know if she's with us or not. Looks like we got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We got a handful of Anonymous there, and Pumpkin Cat, and Nan, and Mountain Shooter, and Minnie, and Doc, and Tinker. Okay. Good deal. Well, I'm logged in there 3 times. I didn't know that. All right. Let's, yeah, I'd have to say, Doc, 69 caliber flintlock will definitely kill you deader than a hammer, but doesn't keep them from being obsolete, but you're right about that. Yeah, and Doc, that's one of Frontsight's mottos. What does it say? Any gun will do if you will do. Yeah, it's every bit of 90% man and 10% gun. You know? So a man that knows what he's doing can pick up virtually any gun and be effective with it, depending on the number of assailants and the distance and the lighting conditions and a number of other things. But any gun will do if you will do. I hate to cite anything from Frontsight, but I have to agree with that. Okay, Nan, we got you in there. I'll talk loud so you can hear me while you're doing whatever it is that you're doing. All right, let's move back over here. I'm kind of take these in some kind of order here. I guess everybody saw on the news. Wow, what's going on here? Great. Don't you hate these pop-up ads? I'm trying to do things. Anyway, I guess everybody saw the story where the guy picked up the, what was he, the 3-month-old or something kid and threw him over a balcony at the Mall of America. Now, that in itself is a story. I mean, it's horrible that somebody would do that. But I think maybe the bigger story here is the fact that a total stranger the fact that a total stranger walked up here and threw this kid over the balcony. So, as I've talked about many, many times over the years, is how should I phrase this? You know, society is degrading to a point where we can't even, you know, when I was a kid, come in, we'd be out and running around town and everything, and it'd be dark and some stranger at that time, and it was fine. In 1960 something. Say, where do you live? I'll take you home. Okay, I'm down the road here. Did abductions happen and stuff in those days? Yeah, I'm sure they did from time to time. But nowadays, just complete strangers walk up for no reason. Just jump the kid over the balcony. Do what? Yeah.
Do something.
So was the kid any relation to the girlfriend, or
no?
Just as some random kid.
He was going to throw an adult who wants an adult over, and
well, probably would have went over good.
He said when he went over there, there was no adult standing close enough to the balcony as this little kid was, so that's why he threw him over.
So Amy's telling me, I guess she's been watching this a little bit, saying that the guy was mad at his girlfriend. So, yeah, I guess she dumped him. And so he said he wanted to throw an adult over the rail, and there wasn't an adult standing close enough to the rail, so he used a kid. Now, what kind of individuals, I'm mad at you, I'm going to hurt that person. I'm mad at you, and I'm going to throw a kid over the balcony, and that'll make me feel better. I don't even get that. I'm at a total loss here. Oh, well. You can always what if this stuff to death. You know, what if you'd been there? What would you have done? Would you have had time to stop it? Would you have shot the guy after he threw the kid over the rail? Or would you be so horrified by seeing this that you wouldn't have done anything? I mean, it's hard to say. That was a bad deal. So I think it's about almost break time here. Doc says a kid's name was Landon. I'm not sure how he's doing, but he's probably be included in all of our prayers. I don't know. Doc says he's been in his prayers. I'm not sure. Not sure what's happening there. I've just heard it, you know, a couple of times and haven't read the story. So, let's see here. What was I going to do? Oh yeah, it's break time. So let me throw something up here, just for lack of anything better to do, and we'll take a little break here in just a minute. Okay. That wasn't even a minute. It was like 3 seconds. All right, I'll be back in a minute. Or like 3 seconds.
I'll be back.
A double XL. Double XL, call me on the phone, just ring my dinner, baby. to be there. Baby, I'm a double XL. I'm a double XL.
The number of people looking to buy firearms is up nearly 50% compared to 2007, according to the FBI.
In the month of November, our gun sales were probably comfortably 250% of what an average month is.
All in favor of losing your rights? Please do nothing.
I gotta get me back. I can't be beat, and that's a fact. It's okay, I'll find a way. It ain't gonna take me down no way. Yeah.
This rally is not about guns. But what these guns that everybody's gonna wear represent is the true badge of the free man. That he can bear arms in defense of himself without permission from anyone. And that's what these arms represent.
Gun laws in the U.S. vary by state, and the amount of regulation is a hot-button political issue.
It can't take me, I'm free.
You have associated two U.S. senators and associated them or comparing them to terrorists. I said, well, they are.
It can't take me.
Fill your hand, you son of a bitch!
You can't take me.
Nobody dared to meet him in an open press debate. He was nominated by the folks from every state. Yes, a monkey was the president, though maybe not the first.
Welcome back to another segment of The Shooting Bench, right here on the Survival Circle Radio Network.
I had to make the break a little extra long there. Amy just got back from a church deal, and they were doing some kind of a cook-off. And so she wound up with a couple of pieces of dessert left that she managed to abscond with and get it back here, and I just couldn't wait for that, so I had to play an extra little beans. Then I ate it so fast I got the hiccups, so we'll see how this goes. So, all right, let me get back over to what I was doing here. The goodness. Yeah, I can't find it. Is that it? Yeah, here it is. Okay, here's a, no, Mountain Shooter, I never did. I keep thinking, I go back and forth, you know, every day. I think I'd sure like to get that FFL again. And every day, I talk myself out of it, because I don't want to be under the, magnifying glass or the microscope of the feds again. I miss it desperately, you know, doing the stuff that I did, and you know, it was never ever about the money that we made doing it. It was fun. We were good at it. We had a hell of a strong following from all over the country, actually around the world, especially for the Glock dry practice kits, which I still do. I don't need an FFL for that. But, well, we've sold those things in like 18 countries. But it was just always a blast. It was every day I couldn't wait to get to the shop and go to work. And we'd stay late and we'd experiment with stuff. And it was a lot of fun. But every day that we did this, we lived in constant, I wouldn't say fear, but anticipation, I guess, of doing something wrong or having somebody turn you in, having be swatted or something, always thinking about that. And some of these stores go for years and years and years and never get audited by the ATF. And here I had that gun shop for, 10 years or less, and we were audited 3 times. So I have little doubt that it's because of who I am and what I do and where I've been and things I've said. And I know that the FBI listens to this show. I don't know about all the time, but I know sometimes they do. And finally I just said, I'm just not even going to go there anymore. So that's why I don't have my FFL mountain shooter, and I doubt that it'll ever happen again. Maybe if we get control of this country, we won't have to have an FFL to be able to deal with guns and stuff. All right, now here's another problem here. This is not the first time this has happened, but this may be one of the worst. And it happened right here in Arizona. And that is honor killings. Because of, I don't remember ever hearing of an honor killing happening in this country. There may have been. I'm not saying it was impossible. I'm just saying, I listen pretty closely to the news, always have. But even before I ever did this show, we've always been glued to current events and stuff. And that was one of the things on my E5 board when I went from E4 to E5. Current events questions. I maxed them out because I just always have watch that stuff. So, and I don't remember an honor killing until the last few years. And with the Islamic invasion here, and the fact that we are voting them into elected positions in this country, now that's not real new. That's happened for quite a while. But I think that Muslims that were in elected into certain positions years ago had a little bit different attitude, a little bit better behaved than some of the ones that are getting in there now. And so now here in the United States, it seems to be okay to some people that this guy killed his wife, 2 daughters, and the man that he believed his wife was having an affair with. Now, how is that different from some man coming home, catching his wife in bed with somebody and killing both of them? Well, the thing is, this is not as much anger and jealousy as it is following their religion, their doctrine, their cult. The average guy, well, the average guy wouldn't kill his wife anyway. He'd divorce her and move on. But most people that do that probably wouldn't kill their daughters as well. He said the reason he shot these people, because in God's eyes, it was all right for him to deal with it in this manner, someone that's been involved in adultery. He also told police he'd killed his 7-year-old daughter. Now, get this. This is not rage. This is not jealousy. This is not... he killed the 7-year-old daughter because she was, quote, weeping for the wicked. So obviously the 7-year-old daughter's crying because mom just got toasted. And he killed her for crying for the wicked, weeping for the wicked. that's the 7-year-old daughter. It doesn't say why he killed the other daughter. Let's see. There was one of them he spared. There was a 3-year-old that he found hiding under a bed. He spared her because she reminded him of himself. That 3-year-old reminds me of me, so I'm not going to kill her. Now, was this just a case of domestic violence? No. No, this is religion driven. These people have to do this. They don't, in their minds, they don't have a choice. This is something that they have, it's justified by their God. It's justified in their religion. They will follow it because they will do whatever, including killing themselves, whatever their religion says they're supposed to do. You can argue, to me, the difference is obvious, way obvious, the difference between domestic violence and a religion-driven murder. But you'd think that, in our way of thinking, in our minds here, we think, well, anybody that was capable of killing his own children, not to mention the wife and the lover, anybody has to be deranged to do that. In our minds, we probably all agree on that. But the only thing that makes them deranged is their whole religion is deranged. These people think and believe way differently than we do. They're deranged the way we see it, but in their minds, in their entire culture, to their whole, all of the Muslim community around the world, maybe not to the last person, but overall, they're not deranged. That's what they do. You know, there's certain things that people might do where everybody in the world thinks they're deranged because they are. You know, you take somebody that goes out and takes a fork and a sprinkler, I mean a little bottle of sprinkles and some ketchup and goes out and sits down in the pasture and eats a pile of cow poop. That person's probably deranged. When somebody, you know, rips the heart out of an animal and eats it in front of it, you know, that person is deranged. And most people would probably agree with that. But there are millions and millions and millions of people that do not think this man was deranged, or anybody else that does this stuff. We think he's deranged because he doesn't conform to our way of thinking, to our way of life. And because it's normal to them, it's going to continue. And I think that even in this country, in the United States of America, where it is typically for the most part, illegal to kill somebody, illegal to murder somebody. I think that this Muslim community has such an influence on elected officials, on society in general, that it will become, at least to some degree, acceptable in this country. That these people may get, you know, if you look at some of the other countries that do this kind of stuff, you know, they get little token sentences. They get, you know, they can be sentenced and then immediately be pardoned. So they were sentenced for killing somebody, but they didn't serve a day because they were immediately pardoned. There's some of them that get, you know, a few months. Some of them get a couple of years. There's even in, what was it? Was it Turkey? Someplace where you can, women are either convinced to commit suicide or their deaths are made to look like suicide, so that family members can avoid being sent to prison. Now, these are women that have been raped or something. If the woman commits suicide, then the debt has been paid, and then the no family members have to go to prison. There's another one where young boys can be ordered, forced by family members to do the killing of the woman that was raped, sometimes their own, you know, their own siblings or their mother. But they force these young people, young men to do this so that they get a shorter jail sentence because they're minors. But whatever it takes, the woman's going to die. We're going to make you kill yourself, or we're going to get your brother to kill you, or whatever the fact is, it doesn't matter. You're going to die because those men raped you. And if that's what they want to do in Iran, then you knock yourself out. That's your problem. Is have no interest to me whatsoever. But when you come to this country and bring this kind of crap with you, that gets to be an issue for me. I think it should be a damn sure an issue to everyone. There was a case of a newlywed woman in Iraq that was beaten to death by her brother after being returned to her family by her husband, who suspected that she was not a virgin. And a post-mortem autopsy showed that everything was, in fact, still together like it was supposed to be. But he suspected that she wasn't. Why? I don't have any idea. Maybe he changed his mind at the last minute and thought she was too ugly. I don't know what happened. But anyway, her brother, her own brother, beat her to death. Because when they reach this, when they become soiled, whether it's real or not, they no longer, you know, it's not, well, why did you do this? You know, it doesn't matter. They don't care. All they have to be killed. Whatever the cost, whatever the risk, they have to be killed. And as ugly as it may be, if that's what they want to do in Saudi Arabia, then so be it. But it is coming to America. This happened right here in Arizona. Happened in Phoenix. Just some of you
may not know, but we have a pretty substantial Muslim population in Phoenix, in southern Arizona. We've talked numerous times about Dearborn, Michigan. You know, that's a little Iraq right there. There's places there where Christians, where infidels don't go. There's parts of town where you just are not allowed to go. There's several areas back in that part of the country that have been taken over completely. And we've disallowed it. That's why I asked the question, at what point, we can go back to the Confederate statue, the Civil War statues, memorials. I would have bet money, good money. I would have bet substantial that some of those good old boys down there would have brought that to a screech and halt very shortly after it got started. But it happened time and time and time again, either by vandals and bigots and cowards or by city officials. And they talked about getting rid of Stone Mountain. Are you freaking kidding me right now? Unbelievable. And all this stuff is just blast up. People just turn the other cheek, turn, look the other way. You know, I don't know. Doc is absolutely right. Increasing the Muslim population is a death sentence for everyone and everything that you love. Your culture, your society, everything from your gun rights, you know, they're making it harder because of some of the things they do. Your ability to go certain places. You know, add that to the cartels. Why? Tell me why we have an 80-mile strip down here, 80 miles wide, not long. It's longer than that, but it's 80 miles wide. 80 miles this side of the border is pretty much off limits to travel because they say it's too dangerous. Well, go in there and kill the people that's making it dangerous, for crying out loud. Tell me I can't go to someplace in my state because it's too dangerous, because people from another country are taking it over? And you want me not to go down there? Why don't we go kill those people dead? Drop some leaflets in there with the helicopters. There you go. This is your last chance. The people, the boys are coming now. They're already on their way, so you better pack your crap and head the other direction and not come over here no more, or you're going to die this afternoon. Why is that so hard? I wish I knew what happened to my country. I want to know what happened to my countrymen. That's what I want to know. I know what's happening to my country. I want to know what happened to my countrymen. It seems... when war is sanctioned by the government, it's okay. Some people still try to, I mean, there's a lot of people that try to get out of it for one reason or another. Many times it's because they're scared. Other times because of religious reasons or political reasons or whatever.
But of all the times that we've been to war, well, since the Civil War, of all the times that we've been to war since then, we really had no dog in the fight too much. I mean, it could be argued that we were fighting for freedom and going and keeping it from coming here and all that. You know, why don't we just reinforce our borders and put all the people that we sent overseas around the borders of our country? But people went. And now that we're having our country overrun, now that we're having literally thousands of people come here every day, overwhelming majority of them are fighting age males, and we do nothing. We talk a lot. We get on Facebook a lot. If we could win a war on Facebook, by damn, we'd have this problem solved like yesterday. Pumpkin Cat, that's a good idea. We'll call it an honor killing for freedom and liberty. Freedom and liberty. Freedom and liberty, she says. Well, I suspect that, I need to quit. I need to quit suspecting. I need to quit guessing. As I've said, I don't know how many times, you know, it seems like we've gone far enough that sometime in the next few months, few weeks, year or two, that something absolutely must break loose at some point. And I'm saying it again. You know, I feel like something's going to have to give. And, you know, I see little subtle changes here and there. In some, all these sheriffs standing up against these red flag laws. Boy, that's encouraging. I love that. Yeah, I can dig that. We got hundreds of sheriffs, quite literally. All over the country, have about half of Colorado, a large number of Nevada, nearly all of New Mexico, over half of Washington, and some in Oregon, some in all over the country. Illinois, for crying out loud. And that's awesome. So we're seeing some little changes here, but it's too little too late, folks. I mean, it's past the point of no return. I am so grateful to see these little changes go in our favor here. I really am. But all that ensures us is that there'll be more people and more resources on our side. When and if the time ever comes. So, I gotta go take a blood pressure pill. We'll see you guys later. Thanks.
This has been The Shooting Bench with Cope Reynolds of Southwest Shooting Authority.